Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Friday, finally, Tori.
TGIF.
Yes. December 9th, and we're ready for the second week in December, I guess. And weekend's coming up. Do you have any big plans, Tori? Not a big planner for weekends.
Yeah, I like to roll with the punches, go and see what I get.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way weekends should be, you know?
Yeah, maybe a couple moves. I don't know. Yesterday, I was at the premiere of Cold Chains, Hard Hearts, and Bloody Hands.
Wow,
from Isaac Medeiros. Yes, I was the entire voice of the main character.
Really?
He had me do ADR. So it was amazing. And it was at the Beverly Hills Music Hall, and it was awesome.
What do you mean? What's ADR?
You know, when you dub afterwards.
Okay.
So you have all the actors watching the movie, and you're dubbing the voice.
Right.
So I just dubbed over because their sound didn't come out very well. So they had to redo all the sound.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, you were part
and
of
I
it?
Was the sound. Yeah. So it was awesome.
How cool is that?
It was great. You meet cool people here on the station.
I know.
It was a spaghetti acid western, if anyone's interested. And it's great. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Very weird. Very cool.
So you liked the movie?
I did. It was great. It was very Quentin Tarantino, The Hateful Eight, bloody, gory, westerny, snowy. It was great.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Wow. This was a movie that we had the cast and the producer, director.
Yeah, Isaac
here
Medeiros.
On the show, right?
Yeah, he's 21 and he's just an up and coming star. So I was like, I better
amazing,
get in with
right?
him.
So you like the movie? And
oh yeah!
Wow,
just really talented.
I really
talented.
Wanted to go, but I had to work.
Oh, he was very talented. Hopefully, he'll be able to give us a Netflix or you know some kind of screening because I want to show my friends.
Yeah, huh?
I did something.
I know.
Woohoo!
That's a long name for a movie. What is it again?
Okay, Cold Chains, Hard Hearts, and Bloody Hands.
Right,
but
I
it's like worth it.
That.
It's worth it.
It's worth saying.
Yeah,
it.
I got a couple of the adjectives wrong. I was like warm hands, cold hearts, happy hands. No, I got it wrong a couple times.
Someone needed to consult them about the name. about the
or will it stand out? Or will it stand out? You know.
Yeah.
So maybe, but it was. A lot
know,
of fun.
But I would never remember that.
No,
name.
It's hard to remember. Yeah. I can't even remember things like crash, like
yeah,
super
right?
one, easy ones. Yeah.
This is
Hitch.
Like six words.
yeah. Can't remember those. Arrival is hard for me to remember. Keep it simple, stupid.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to a relaxing weekend as well. It's going to be chilly. The whole country, the whole nation is under a cold carpet. And of really arctic air, you
really?
Know? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. So, well, that's it'll at least feel good for December. You kind of want a chill in the air, don't you?
That's true. Yeah, but here we can't handle it, man.
We don't
have the right clothes, you know. I don't know what.
Yesterday, I went out in my full winter coat, and someone just mocked me on the street.
Really?
They're like, "It ain't that cold out." It's like, and done. I don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. I know, there's arctic air and stuff, dangerous wind chills could drive temperatures as low as, get ready for this, 40 degrees
Stop.
Below.
Just get me out of here.
40 degrees below, folks. How would you like that?
Some people
live in that.
Some people
yeah.
love that.
You shouldn't be living in places like
it's
that.
It's very uninhabitable. Seems like the dark side of the moon. Speaking of the moon, John Glenn passed away.
Yes.
So let's honor him.
That was sad.
Very sad. He's a great American hero.
Yes. How old was he? About 80-something?
Like, yeah,
90?
I think he was 95.
95, yeah.
Hello, the first American to orbit the Earth. So when you look out, he was the first.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So that was Mercury, right? The rocket he was
oh,
in.
Oh, I was like, I think it was Earth.
No, wait a minute. Mercury was a different guy. So I don't know what, I don't know what John Glenn did, to be honest.
He was the first American to orbit the Earth. He went around the Earth in space.
Okay, but what about the guy that flew before that? I can't forget his name. There was a guy that flew before him to space.
I thought it was John Glenn.
No, it's not. I'm going to find out.
Okay.
You know what? Let's put it into Google and see, okay?
Friendship 7, yes.
First man to orbit...
The Earth. That's John Glenn.
Okay. So what I need to know is... okay, you're right. It's John Glenn. Okay. So Okay, so who about First Man, First American in Space?
Okay.
Okay, let's see that one. Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard, of course.
Thank you very much. That's what I meant, okay?
Good one.
He was the first in space.
There
so
you
I'm
go.
Not totally wrong.
No.
Thank goodness for
You're
Google,
absolutely
man.
Right.
Yeah. You can backpedal a little bit.
You're going beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. But, no, we were on the right track, and that's what's important.
Yes, and know. John Glenn was always a good American hero, so we wish him, may he rest.
Yes, in peace.
Brave man to do that. Can you imagine?
I know.
Time to orbit the Earth. No one's done it before you. Well, good luck.
I know. Now, what about at this point in space exploration? Would you go into space if you had the chance?
No, but that's because I'm a puss.
What if you had your codependent with you?
Okay, then maybe. Yeah. No, seriously. If my husband could come, I'd be fine. It's what I don't like is the like I don't like enormous things. So I don't love whales. Like you all know,
right.
I don't like enormous rocket ships overwhelm me.
Yeah.
So it's too big of a thing. It almost makes me a little dizzy and nauseous.
Wow.
But
it's amazing you can live in a place like LA or New York and stuff.
Yeah, because I don't see it, the largeness of it. It's when I have to see how big, like a cruise ship, it makes me a little worried. I don't know. It's too big.
Wow.
Very interesting. So
very interesting stuff.
You got a weirdo co-host.
Yeah,
what do you
there
want?
You go. But
would you go into space if you could?
You know, that's a good question. I would for a few days, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I would freak out if I had to be there for
months.
It's
the claustrophobia, maybe.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it would be that great.
Enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you see that new movie with Jennifer Lawrence about
Passengers?
Yeah.
So she's the trailer is they're in space and something happens and she's underwater when it happens and I'm too scared of that. No, I'm scared of that.
Yeah,
I have to see it though.
Because they're in the hibernation.
That's exactly
tank.
Right.
Right.
And she's swimming, but then the whole thing goes down. So she's stuck in the pool. That's the trailer. It's a very good trailer, by the way.
Right. And they're awoken 90 years before they were supposed to wake up.
Yeah.
90 years. Wow.
Just really worries me. I got a lot of anxiety about this.
I wonder if space travel is really going to be like this.
I think it has to be. We're polluting the planet so much, we got to leave.
But you can hibernate a person for hundreds of years.
I think people are trying that with cryotherapy. I think a lot of people are trying.
Cryo.
Cryo, am I saying it right?
Cryonics.
Cryonics, thank you.
Right.
Cyro also sounded good.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, not right.
Be there, but
yeah, Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, it should be a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Scary, though. I don't know. These things are getting closer to reality, so it's just freaking me out.
I know, huh?
Elon Musk is like already in Mars, I feel like. I don't know where he is. He's on a Tesla on Mars, and it's freaking me out.
I know. So, Taylor Swift and Zayn Malik making music together.
Yes. Dropped a new song.
Really? So, I Don't Want to Live Forever. And that's from 50 Shades Darker.
So I saw the preview yesterday of 50 Shades Darker. If you don't know, it's the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And it is sexy. I got to be honest. I'm not joking. I kind of was like, nice trailer.
You wouldn't see that.
Anyway, they dropped and it's very breathy and like, I want to live for it. It's very like poppy and very falsetto, high voices.
Yeah.
So it's not a...
No, them connecting it with Taylor Swift, it's going to make it even bigger.
I think, it went to number one already.
Really?
Oh,
the
song. Yeah. She already Instagrammed.
Yeah,
was like, oh,
so
that's going to
make the movie really big, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but it's not my kind of music, but I always have loved Taylor.
Yeah.
Never going to bash my Swift. I'm a Swiftie.
Yeah, you love her. That's right.
Yeah. She writes her own music. Anyone who does that, I'm a big fan.
Right. She still looks like she's 16 years old.
That haircut. Fix the haircut. Do something other than that bob.
Is? Yeah.
We're tired of the bob. Get something else. I'm sorry. It's like Ariana Grande. If you take out the ponytail, well, your head fell off.
Really?
Take the ponytail down. I've never seen her without a ponytail.
Whoa. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to get to our guest in just a couple minutes. I did want to bring up a little reason for celebration. The military is saying that 50,000 ISIS fighters have already been killed. 50,000, that's a lot
that's
of
a
people.
Lot. Let's
that's
hope
a lot
it's
of people. Their military, when I looked, which maybe was a year ago, when I first saw the count, they estimated at about 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty, you know, it's not it's that a, big an army, but
right.
it's a
formidable.
Good size.
It's formidable.
Right. But,
yeah.
But we could wipe them out in no time, you mm-hmm. know. The problem is that they're not all in one place.
Yeah. And they're also in caves, which is incredibly hard to find.
Yeah.
ISIS and, you know, when you have ISIS and you have people hiding out and, you know, why you couldn't win a war in Afghanistan is because it's very rocky and mountainous. targets, and these people are used to it. Yeah. So no one's been able to win in Afghanistan.
I know.
The Russians couldn't do. I mean, it's very difficult territory. So
yeah, but in Syria and in Iraq, I guess the allies have made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
It's you want to get the momentum. That's what you want on our side.
Exactly. You know, and after the time when. You know, I mean, they were just attacking all over the place.
Yeah, and I remember when it was nonstop, and we haven't heard anything in a long time.
Right.
We hope the tides have sort of, you hope the momentum has shifted.
I hope so.
Let's hope.
I sure hope so, man, but it's still a long fight.
Oh, it's, and Syria is just in terrible shape.
Yeah, shape.
Yeah, there's like nowhere left.
Yeah.
And in other good news, giraffes are coming to extinction.
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. No, huh? Wow.
Wake up, it's Friday. Yeah. Yeah, giraffes are going into extinction.
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Giraffes are everyone's favorite, so we all have to look out for them.
I know, all the wildlife, you know. I mean, without it, all the balance is being thrown off.
And we're going to Mars, I'm
right?
telling you.
Yeah.
We'll join Elon Musk and his Tesla.
Yeah, that's a terrible prospect.
Yeah.
Well, good thing I won't be here.
Yeah.
That, you know?
I know, my mom's like, I'll be dead.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to be in that future.
It's just, it's a, you wonder what it will look like, don't you?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Now, let's see, for you.
Oh, God, don't go there.
No, just, no, like, how old will you be?
I know.
Well, oh, okay.
I don't
so
want to go.
That's not the point. What I wanted to ask is, at 2050, will you still be around?
I hope so. I don't do math, and I don't like to. It's another big thing I don't like to.
Okay, I can do it for you, but I won't.
Okay, don't.
You'll definitely be around.
All right, good.
Yeah, you'll
hopefully.
Be
hopefully.
Yeah.
The giraffes will as well.
Wow. let me think. Okay, between now and 2050, we have 35 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I would be about 90. So I stand to live then, but I really don't want to be around 20.
Yeah, you've always said you want to be, like, go out in your prime, or you don't want to go out when you're...
Yeah,
you know,
like really old.
Yeah.
And let's look. I mean, if you're not sick or anything,
yeah.
There's people that are 90, they're not sick. They're
are you
doing
kidding
very
me?
Well, but how many are there?
Well, Kirk Douglas turned 100 today.
That's true.
He's killing it. I
yeah.
mean, is he really? But he's still
but
alive.
But look at him. I mean,
yeah.
he's been
no,
frail
yeah.
for years.
Right,
you know?
But he's still... My friend just interviewed him.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's slower. The strokes have taken a
yeah,
lot from
yeah,
him,
yeah.
but he's a dignified gentleman.
He can still talk?
A little bit.
Carry a
Spartacus.
Conversation? Wow. Yeah.
Spartacus.
I know. So just at that late age. But it's not so much the age. 2050 just seems so... uncertain to me.
What's funny is Westworld. Remember, I was telling you about that
yes.
the TV show. Someone who's a genius caught a quick clip of their computer screen on screen, and
uh-huh.
it mentioned the date of when Westworld was supposed to be taking place on their computer, and it's 2052.
Really?
So it's very, someone caught it. So it's just around that
so what,
time.
So they never really acknowledged?
You don't acknowledge. We just
oh.
know we're in the future in some way.
I see.
Technology is a bit better, but we're not that far away.
Yeah.
But everything they hold is still is like an iPad, but it's like a Minority Report iPad. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So this showed us it's supposed to be taking place 2052.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
All right. Well, let's go back to the present, folks. We're going to be joined by
our
great guest in the studio, Adi Spector. Welcome to
Woo-hoo!
The show, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Adi, you drove all the way from Pasadena this morning?
South Pasadena, yes.
South Pasadena. Nice. For those of you who don't know, it's not like two steps from here. It's supposed to be what? Like a 10, 15-minute drive. How long did it take you?
It took me 45 minutes.
Yeah. 45
That's
minutes.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to LA, folks. Yeah,
seriously.
You know, if you listen to us to find out what's going on in LA, now you know.
Now you know. You're
That's
sitting in traffic.
That's where we spend all our lives, right, Andy?
Yeah.
How long have you been in LA?
Since 99, so it's been like 17 years.
So you've been here for a while.
Yep.
So this is home for you.
It is home for me, yes.
That's awesome. And so we'll find out why you moved here, but where did you move here from?
I moved from Israel, but I was born in Poland, actually.
So you were born in Poland. What city in Poland?
Legnica. Very
Legnica.
Small city. Yeah, very small city in southwest part of Poland. Nobody knows about it.
Right.
Legnica.
Now, we were talking about cold weather. Is Poland pretty cold like we see in the movies?
Oh, it's freezing. It's freezing.
All the time or just in the
winter? No, just winter time.
We're just winter time.
It's more like New York, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Icy, slushy.
Yeah, and then kind of humid during the summer, and it seems like it gets hotter and hotter all
yeah.
the summertime.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, right?
Trust us, summer here is like, what's happening?
Wow. So you grew up in Poland. What was that like? Did you have a good childhood in that small town?
Well, you know, I grew up during the communism. That's why I actually left for Israel.
Really?
So, yeah.
So how old were you when you moved?
I was actually 20.
20? Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you knew what you were doing. I mean, at that point, you knew...
I thought I knew. Now I know that I didn't, but you know.
Really? Why do you say that? You don't think you should have left?
No. I completely agree with my decision then.
Yeah.
But I thought I was so smart. I knew everything. And now, you know, from the perspective of 28 years ago,
right.
You know, I have so much more life experience and appreciation to everything.
Plus,
I lived in, you know, this is the third country I live in. So,
right.
You know, you soak the culture and so on and, you know.
Right. And you don't regret things you did, you know.
No, at 20, you think you know everything.
Right.
Like 19-year-old me knew nothing.
That's true, yeah,
but you knew nothing. Yeah, 20, you don't know anything.
Yeah, but you go and you move on and you go with what you have, you know, with the decisions you made.
Right. No, I desperately wanted to leave because I finished high school in Poland and I really didn't see any perspective for myself.
Yeah.
So at the time, it was very difficult to travel because the police would keep your passports. And each time you wanted to go somewhere, you had to go through an interview with them and they would decide if you can go or you cannot go.
Wow.
So by default, the passport is not with you.
By default, wow. The passport...
Right? Can you imagine?
If you want to travel, you have to ask for it.
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
Wow.
And actually, the passport was... If it was blank, you couldn't go anywhere. You had to have a special stamp. And there were... three different stamps. One was for all the communist countries.
Uh-huh.
Then it was all the communist countries plus Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia at the time was a country, not like divided.
Right.
Like, and all the countries in the world. It was that was the stamp that was the hardest to get.
The golden ticket.
Yeah.
How did you leave? Did you have a stamp? Did you or did you sneak out?
Well, I had. I actually went for a trip to Israel,
mm-hmm.
and I never came back.
Wow, smart man.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's smart.
But the funny thing was, I actually went for the interview through, you know, in the police and so on, and because of the media and propaganda, they actually said, you know what, there's intifada there, there's a war there, I'm sure you're going to go there, and you're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to stay. So it was safe for them.
No
to
problem.
He's like, bye.
Yeah. Wow.
Ciao.
Wow. Now, so they try to keep people in because if they hadn't, everybody would leave, right?
Yeah.
That's
the point.
Yeah, that's the point of communism. So now what happened with your family? Did they stay behind?
Yeah, they stayed behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't go all together and so on. And, you know, I was young. I was adventurous. I went to Israel with no money and not knowing the language.
Wow.
What year was it?
It was 1988.
88?
Mm-hmm.
88. I'm trying to remember what happened. I mean, that was a different world back
then.
It was the beginning of, I think, Intifada. At the time, they didn't have... guns, they're just throwing stones and rocks.
Right.
It was a different time. Lots of people from those territories would work in Israel, you know, in agriculture and so on. So, yeah, it was a little bit different than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, why... the question is, I wanted to ask you, is why Israel? Why did you pick Israel out of all places? Did you grow up Jewish? Is it something that you always dreamed about? How do you end up? I mean, because it was a war zone, still is in many ways. Why would you pick that out of all places?
It was my first opportunity to leave.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, and since I'm Jewish, it was easy for me to actually get a citizenship and everything.
Wow.
So it worked out for me.
And how did you learn the language? Just by listening? Was it TV shows? Was it radio?
All together, because I didn't have any money. I had to survive. And there's this great thing called kibbutz in Israel.
Yes, of course.
Where you can go and... you work full time, but they give you a place to live. They feed you,
right.
And give you some pocket money. So
and you have a social life too, right?
There is a social life.
A community.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're part of a framework,
right.
You know. And it's
there is. And there's lots of volunteers from all over the world. So actually, I hang out with people from England, from the U.S.,
right.
From,
a great way to
from
meet.
Norway.
It really
it
is.
Was,
I mean,
it was amazing,
yeah.
Actually.
And I remember when I grew up in the 60s, 70s, those were like party places. places.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? My friends who went on to, like, you know, they went to Birthright, they would party hard on kibbutz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yep.
Because you're around people all the time.
It's all hippie farmers.
No, I mean, think about it this way. For me, it was like a vacation.
Sure.
You know, I was young, you know. I was strong. I didn't afraid to work, so I was working. But at the same time, the weather was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pool there. Wow. I had a key to the gym, which I, you know, I would go there like every day. Then I would swim, and then I would go to work. And in the evening, there were parties, and everybody
that
would,
sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
So for you, it was really heaven going from Poland to there.
It was, in many ways.
I mean, if just the weather alone, right?
Yeah. Just the weather alone. Yeah,
so different. Wow. So, did you find that you were able to assimilate there?
Yes, after a while, because, you know, kibbutz is not really Israel. Kibbutz is the small community, and I mean,
it doesn't represent the big picture,
whole. Yeah, exactly. And
right.
Also, I was a volunteer, so I wasn't a member, so I wasn't part of the kibbutz. They kind of kept us on the side, mm-hmm. you know.
We were doing
all kind of works that they didn't want to do.
And I bet you were fine with it.
Yeah, I was fine. I appreciated, you know, every minute of it, you know. Also, they had Hebrew classes, which I attended, so I could, you know, ulpan, so I could learn.
Communicate with the people.
This is the way you integrate people. This is the way you do it.
Right.
Exactly. Look at how smart this is.
I know, but you really have to want it.
Of course.
Right?
You have to be brave.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not just anybody can do something like that, you know. And at 20 years old, I imagine you weren't afraid of work, you weren't afraid of anything, and you pretty much went to the first place that made sense to you.
Exactly.
But at least there you felt as a Jew that you belonged. Did you feel safer there?
I did feel safe and open. At the time in Poland, we weren't very open, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, as
people were just like, they weren't talking much, right?
We weren't out in the open. So just to give you an example, the only synagogue in the city I was born was in apartment. So nobody knew about it. Only a few people knew about it.
No, I mean, I'm a stand-up, and I talk about, I say literally hundreds of times, I talk about this Jew girl. I mean, I bring up the Jew thing all as if it's just, it's a part of my act.
Yeah.
And to imagine you couldn't even talk about it. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very welcome, but you know, I don't look very different. I mean, I look very Eastern European.
Yeah, you do. He's very like born identity. Gerard Butler.
Yeah, there you go. And he's got the look. And we'll get to that too. And that is what you do. You're in film. You're an actor, director, producer. Tori, I don't know if you got a chance to see a little clip.
I did a little bit.
You
oh, did? Yes.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that. We're going to tease that a little bit, guys. But it's an awesome thing. Awesome film that you made. And we'll get to that. I just want to know a little bit more about you because it's fascinating how you lived your... You started your adult life pretty much in Israel.
Correct.
Now, did you... So you were a volunteer. You didn't have to go to the military or anything.
Well, I had to after a while. Because for 2 years, actually, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, you know, and my mom was horrified that I would go to Israeli army.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I extended my tourist visa as long as I could. And to be in the kibbutz, you didn't have to be a citizen. So for 2 years, I was just a tourist. Let's put it this way.
A long, long tourist.
Long, long time tourist. Working tourist.
Right, a working tourist.
Yeah, working tourist. And then, you know, then the time came that they said, listen, you know, you've been here for 2 years. You have to decide what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you stay or leave, but you can be a tourist.
Yeah, right.
So I decided to stay. And
you decided to stay. That's awesome. Wow. And then how did you eventually moved out of the kibbutz? Did you make yourself a personal life?
It was pretty hard because all I got was this pocket money, you know,
right.
$50 $50 a month. That was my second kibbutz. My first one was like $20. So
wow,
you know?
And I had to save up from that too,
wow,
in order to you know, to leave. Having said that, you know, when I decided to stay, I already had a plan. I didn't want to just stay and it's like, oh, let's see what happens and so on. Because kibbutz, it's nice for a while, but then every day is kind of the same.
The same,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough privacy, right?
You don't have privacy. You can't make decisions of what you own.
It's like communism.
True, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's kind of like communism. I know.
Like for example, even if, you know, somebody had a family somewhere and they would want to give them, at the time it was VCR, there was no DVDs, VCR, they couldn't have it unless everybody else would have it.
Yeah.
It's so funny how similar to communism it is.
Yeah. Israel started as a very socialist place.
Yeah, sure.
Because the founders came from socialist countries.
That's right.
You know, and the kibbutz was a
socialist idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The embodiment of that kind of lifestyle. You
right.
know? So in many ways, Israel is still very socialist mm-hmm. in some institutions and stuff. But yeah, that's the way it was.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you know, I didn't want to stay in the socialism again, the communist right. socialism.
You're like, I'm trying to get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to do something with my right. life. So when I decided to stay, I actually, before that, I went to the library and started study to take exams to the university. So I did get accepted and I did the preparatory program 1 year, which basically nice. Means that since I didn't finish high school, I didn't have any grades, I had to take some, you know, some courses from the first year. So to see how I am at that and more Hebrew, English, you know, had to pass certain tests and so on. And in my first year, I studied in that one. I studied mostly in English. Mm-hmm. The courses were in English. And then I took another exam to get into university. I got accepted to economics and management in the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And my first year, I remember I had to actually cut half of the courses because I could not understand what they were saying.
Yeah, how do you get to English now?
Yeah,
it's because it was Hebrew. Everything was Hebrew. And it was like very right. professional, you know, economics
like,
and so on.
Like more difficult Hebrew, maybe more formal.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Not like the spoken.
Not like the spoken one. Yeah. And lots of words I didn't know. So what I did was actually at Xerox from some girls that had nice handwriting. And then go home and translate it, which is also pretty difficult because my English wasn't at the level it is now.
Right.
And at the time, there was no Hebrew-Polish dictionary, so I had to translate from Hebrew to English and from English to Polish.
Holy mackerel.
So I kind of learned both languages
God,
at the same
this
time.
Guy's a genius. So you're saying you're a spy is what you're saying. No, it's amazing.
And you see, by necessity.
By necessity.
Yeah. Survival. Yeah, of course.
So people say, you know, oh, you speak four languages. I said, yeah, you know.
I had to.
I kind of didn't have a choice.
Like, sure.
You know, yeah.
So that's
wow.
what I'm saying. You got to be grateful to what you went through. You know, I mean,
yep.
whether it was a smart decision to leave Poland or not, you ended up here. And you're making films and
how did you get yeah. How the heck did we get to film in where we were? We were learning English, we're taking economics. How did we get to film?
Well, you know, I always wanted to be an actor.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I always, you know, had the when I was a kid. I have a sister. She's 6 years younger. And when we were kids, I would do puppet shows for her just to keep, you know, and you could play for hours or invent characters, you know.
I did the same thing.
And I would play, and she actually believed that I was somebody else. I could trick her
really?
To do things, yeah, because she actually believed that I was somebody else. And it really appealed to me. So I always wanted to try to do it, professionally. I didn't know if I'm going to like it. I didn't know if I'm going to be any good at it. But, you know, I didn't have a chance when I was in Poland, in my small hometown. There was no actually acting school. Plus, my parents, you know, Jewish parents, they wanted me to be a doctor.
Hello, ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
same story.
So and also they didn't want me to get into, you know, to hang out with not. with the people that they didn't want me to hang out with, you know, I'm talking the bad influence people. Mm-hmm. So they enrolled me to music school as well. So I had full schedule. I would go to school. Then after that, I went to music school. I would come back at 10. I had to practice cello and piano.
Oh, and this guy's Renaissance man over here.
You know, and it's like, so I didn't really have time even to think about it. So when I went to Israel, I was thinking to enroll maybe to acting school, but without the language, you know, you can't really do it, and it takes a while. I mean, as an actor, you not have to just speak the language, you have to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know. Yes. So it takes, so, and I had to survive. I had no money, so that's why I started to learn about money. That's why I picked economics, because I didn't know
what guy's so what smart
to, that's good
survival
because, yeah, exactly, survival. You've really survived this
well
stuff.
Thank you.
Now so at in now Poland quote unquote fell, the communism fell in Poland, what, 89? Now so you were you able to go back after that?
Yeah, I was able to go to, I mean, after 3 years I went to visit, you know. I didn't want to live there anyway,
right.
Because, you know, even the communist was, I mean, the everything changed there, but it takes
didn't,
time,
yeah,
but
didn't
it didn't.
Chain, right.
It didn't. They kind of didn't know how to deal with everything and so on. Plus, I really like the weather in Israel. So I'm like, oh no,
I'm not coming back here.
Not coming back here. Right. That's why I actually picked LA too. Yeah. Afterwards, I'm
smart like, man.
New York or LA? No, I'm not gonna go to New York. It's too cold.
I know.
It's called survival again.
Right? No, absolutely. You know, when I came here in 1976, I had the option of going either to New York City or to Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
because that's where I had family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'd been to New York the previous year, and I thought it's too big for me.
Yeah,
and it's too cold, mm-hmm. and it's too different for me.
It's too foreign.
Vegas was sort of like more like Israel.
Well, yeah, it's a desert.
Yeah.
It's really very. I mean, other
right.
than the other
more flat.
Yeah,
and, you know,
the arid heat, just like it.
And I was grateful. I mean, to live in Vegas in the '70s was heaven.
You had your own kibbutz.
Yeah, I mean, definitely sex, drugs, and rock and roll the whole way, yeah. man.
That's how it was.
I can't imagine too.
I'm telling you, 16 years old, 17 years old. It was the best time.
Well, so tell me how you got into acting from economics. I'm just like totally. Yeah.
Well, after I finished, after I graduated university, I got a job in Central Bureau of Statistics in Tel Aviv.
Okay.
So basically every day numbers. I after a while I couldn't bear it. You know, it was every time was the same. I couldn't, I wasn't with people. I was just with a computer all the time. So as soon as my contract ended, I decided to change, you know, my contract ended and I had an opportunity to look for a job in Israel or to change everything drastically and go to the stage, which was always my dream. I actually mm-hmm. always wanted to come to America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, since I was growing up, this
That's
is the land of opportunity.
America
is
always like the big spot you want to get there.
It really is.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you
yeah.
see the movies, you hear the music, you know, you see all this stuff.
Pop culture.
Yeah, you love the culture. Mm-hmm. You go, wow, you know, America is somewhere I want to go.
Well, even you know, when you go to Israel, it's kind of like they kind of copy Israel, America a little
they
bit.
They do.
Very Americanized,
a lot. Yeah.
A lot.
I've heard that,
course.
Yeah.
It's like the 51st state sometimes mm-hmm. we like to joke about. But yeah, so in 1999, you moved to L.A. You decided you're going to pursue what? Acting? Filmmaking?
No, I wanted to be an actor. The filmmaking came later. So 2 weeks after I actually arrived, I enrolled to Lee Strasberg Institute.
Wow.
Really?
This guy makes me feel so lazy. My God. Is there anything you haven't done?
Yeah, there's plenty of things
okay.
on my bucket list. So, yeah, so that's how it started. And actually, it's a funny story because I met, by accident, I was with friends at dinner, and there was one of the casting directors I didn't, you know, at this dinner. So I asked them, well, what should I do? I would like to get into acting. So they said, well, you should enroll to some acting school. So I said, you know, maybe you could recommend me one. And she said, you know what, either Groundlings or Lee Strasberg. So I went to Groundlings first, but there was no parking place. So so then it's like, there was plenty of parking by Strasberg, so that's the one I picked.
Whoa, isn't that funny?
Whoa, the fates intervened.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be a groundling, don't worry. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I didn't know much about that.
Yeah, no, it's a very different thing.
No, I know, I know.
Yeah, sketch comedy, it's character-based, yeah, it's SNL, it's improv.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's like UCB, so it's very, I mean, Lee Strasberg is like technique, you know, really almost Stanislavski method acting.
I
it
see.
Couldn't be farther from the groundlings.
Wow. So you had to pick so you picked that.
And I picked that.
Are you happy
by accident.
That you did?
Yes, of course. You know, and then, you know, then after that, I was there for like 3 years, and then it wasn't enough for me, so I enrolled to Meisner.
Sure.
You know.
Meisner can get very, if you don't know Meisner, it's back and forth for about 8 years. You say, you're wearing a jacket, I'm wearing a jacket. No, it gets better than
exactly
that.
Right.
But I only did the first part, so that's all I know. But it's a lot of repetition to get to the realness. Is that right?
Right. That's a beginning exercise.
Yeah, I was just in the beginning.
And then you get to improv. So the first year and second year, you get scenes, and you learn how to, you know, go about them. So I did the whole 2 years.
It's amazing technique.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you know, after a while, you kind of combine everything.
Sure,
you make everything your own, because I started with other people afterwards as well. But, yeah, it was good, because you work every class, you know, you get out of the box, because you can't predict what the other person says
exactly.
and does and so on. And you have to play of them, because you actually repeat what they say. So when you repeat what they say, you're acknowledging it, you know.
Right.
Lots of people don't know how to listen. And that's what
the whole
teaches you how to listen. So you listen so you can respond, and not to respond because you're just eager to say something that has nothing to do with
what's
going on.
But it comes naturally to you.
Right.
And then we got to a step where you would make like a house of cards while repeating. So you're doing action, and then it's coming more and more naturally.
Right,
very interesting.
I know, it kind of triggers emotions.
It sure does. Yeah, I was like, what is, I was like, and you're wearing a shirt, I'm wearing a shirt, but I'm feeling these things.
Right. And you say it with different emotions,
yeah.
and they trigger something else, and you change
move on. Yeah.
Right. So what about yesterday? What about yesterday?
What about yesterday? What about yesterday? Sam, you would hate it, I think.
I would, huh? Yeah, I know. That's one thing I don't think I could do. And I mean, I consider myself multi-talented. There's a lot of things I like to do, and I do well. Music, you know, radio, obviously. You know, things like that. But acting is not one thing that I ever felt I could do, you know? I can't be somebody else, you know?
It's a different part of the brain.
It is. But I guess if you learn something, it's like everything else, it's probably learnable if you have the inclination to do it.
Yeah, natural talent. But yeah, it's a tough... Those Meisner, Stanislavski's very strict techniques. It's not like nowadays where it's just like, just do it. You know, those were some strict techniques, so it helps.
Right. They were strict, but, you know, then you kind of get away from it and just... Yeah.
So, Adi, we are quickly running out of time, and I want to talk about your films and everything. So let's jump really from that point on to... So you started acting in what? Films, TV?
I started acting... in the beginning, I was just doing student films, you know.
Okay.
Just to get my feet wet and so on. And then after a while, I got smaller independent projects and, you know...
So you decided to do your own thing?
Well, I decided at a certain point, you know, I had an agent and everything, but, you know, acting is temporary job.
Slow.
Yeah, so you have a project, you don't, and it's a downtime.
Right.
And I didn't want to have a downtime, so I started to produce my own projects to create work for myself and my friends. So that's how it started. And then after a while, you know, I got invited to be in the jury of iPhone Film Festival in Beverly Hills in 2011. And I saw amazing films. The quality of the films were really, really good. And I was very inspired by the quality of the film using a mobile device.
Wow.
So it's all shot on iPhones.
Oh. And, you know, at the time, Samsung,
sure.
anything. You know, any phone, they would
before they blew up in your pocket. That's
right.
Now they do. Yeah. So I got into that too. You know, I in 2012, I produced my first film using an iPhone.
Right.
I didn't direct it. I was in it, but I didn't direct it.
Okay. But we got to remember that in 2011, the iPhone was not what it is today.
It was
super, the resolution.
It was like
lower,
a spaceship. Yeah, it was. Right. It wasn't.
It was. It was the 4S. It was the first iPhone that actually would shoot with in HD.
In wow. HD, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little clunky still.
Yeah, yeah, and there were an apps that would help you with you know editing with controlling it for the filming. Right. We had problems with auto zoom. You know, lots of times with movement. Oh, you out of focus. Let's do it again.
Sure.
This kind of things that you know they're so, you know sound
is
now it's better too. They weren't very good with low light
right
so
now my question to you is this though, why make a movie with an iPhone if you can spend $100-$200 on a nice video camera and shoot the same thing?
To be honest with you,
it'll be easier, no?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, my first, I like challenge, uh-huh. You know? So my first film, I did it because I wanted to see if I can.
To show, yeah, to show that it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. You know? Wow. And then, you know, I noticed that people are really inspired by it because my first film, How to Rob a House, got 4 awards, no, even more awards. I mean, we got in Barcelona Best Screenplay Award. We got 2nd place in iPhone Film Festival. We got fourth place in San Diego Mobile Film Festival. We won the app, Film Pro, wow. Which is used to film those.
It's called How to Rob a Bank.
How to
Rob a House. Cool. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the competition we won early bird competition for that one. And recently this year, actually, because it's a film about a vampire, we got Silver Stake Award.
I love the Silver Stake
Vampire
Award.
Film Festival in Transylvania.
Did you go to Transylvania?
No. I did not. No. I couldn't, but I was invited. And the interesting thing, the whole festival was taking place in the castle where Dracula was born.
Wow.
Really?
That would have been a cool film festival.
Wow, it would.
Yeah. A lot of garlic.
So I was very happy because it had nothing to do with an iPhone. It was, you know, you could shoot on
just a regular
camera,
film festival.
Regular film festival, but you had to have a featured vampire in it. So we got 2nd place in the world, which I'm really, really happy
that's
with
amazing.
That.
So,
you know, I went to the festivals and people got inspired by doing these things. And it can be done very inexpensively. You know, you already have a phone. You don't have to buy it.
Exactly.
You know, you said $300. $300 is for some people is a lot of money, you know?
No, even for $100, you can get a video camera. That's,
right.
You know, but that's the point, though. I mean, you wanted to not only tell a story, but show the technology is there.
Exactly.
The ability is there for anyone, really, to make a professional-looking movie, right?
Right, right.
Okay. So now let's talk specifically about the films that you make. You're promoting now A Miracle of Hanukkah.
Correct.
So
correct.
This is a new, is that a new film? Did you just make it?
I made it, yeah. We finished post-production January this year. So,
okay.
So it actually premiered in Warsaw in April in LGBT Film Festival in Warsaw. And it was screened in, it was very well received. I was there. I went there.
Wow.
You know, I had an opportunity to go to Poland.
That's crazy to go back, I bet.
Yeah, it was fun. It was different.
Yeah.
We had a full house. Everybody was laughing. And, you know, the audience response is the best feedback for you.
Right,
so I was
exactly.
very, very happy with that. They screened it in 5 different cities, you know, around Poland. So then it was in San Diego. It's you know, it was in Mexico. We were nominated for best comedy in Kansas and in San Antonio LGBT Film Festival.
Right.
And we got
that's a lot to remember.
I know.
Right? I mean, you remember.
And
all of
I just
these.
Came back 2 weeks ago from Miami, which is short film festival in Miami, and we won best LGBT film.
Wow!
Oh,
good job, buddy.
Listen
Thank
to
you.
That.
Wow. What is it?
A Miracle of Hanukkah.
A Miracle of Hanukkah.
And that's Miami.
Very timely. Very timely.
Well,
so
it's
Miami
not what you think.
Film.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I started watching this, guys, and you got to watch this. It's the funniest thing, and you have the link. You should watch it. Tell us a little bit about The film itself. First of all, how long is it?
It's only 7 minutes.
Seven minutes.
Easy to watch. Yeah.
Right, but there's a lot going on in those seven
minutes.
A
lot going on. There is. Right. Yeah, because I connected Jewish religion with LGBT, with BDSM, and time traveling.
It's 7 minutes.
And it's a comedy.
And there's a vampire. No, I'm kidding.
No,
that's the other one.
And you get to see Adi almost naked completely.
That's true too.
Right? Why I'm gonna watch.
You know, when I'm writing something. I usually play Eastern European bad guys, so when I write something that I usually didn't play. So I have an opportunity to play.
You get to go there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Different things.
I mean, it looks funny and it's got
hilarious.
S&M and everything. We were talking about 50 Shades.
Oh yeah.
This will give you some shades into the 50 Shades.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this has got to be some of the shades in 50.
Did you know it was going to be 7 minutes, or did you edit it just did it happen to come out that way?
Well, I knew kind of, because when you write,
sure.
1 minute is one page.
Page,
I had
right.
7 pages, so I knew. I tried to keep my films under 7 minutes because some festivals even don't accept anything over 5 minutes.
Wow.
You know, so I have a 5 minute version too.
Sure.
But the shorter the film, the more opportunities you have to get into festivals, because they don't like the long short.
Sure, because our attention span's gone.
Right. They want to put as many films as
many
possible.
Films also, sure. Fit them into that time.
So 7 minutes, I think it's perfect. It's not too long. It's not too short. You know, you go in and get out at the climax.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so you leave wanting more.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. That's very funny.
So when did you originally come up with the idea for this?
Well, over a year ago, actually. I started to, you know, after my first film was so successful, I decided to go wild. And I wanted to do Jewish version, because I'm Jewish, I wanted to do Jewish version of The Exorcist, you know, because Exorcist is always with cross and...
Yeah, we don't get any of that shit.
Everything.
That's right.
So I'm like, I'm going to do something, you know, I'm going to do Exorcist Jewish, but I don't want it to be a horror.
Right.
So that's how it came about. And I went to my friend's house and I saw this beautiful Hanukkah. I'm like, you know what, can I borrow it from you? I want it in my film. And then I knew already it's going to be about Hanukkah.
Sure.
And I'm going to use a miracle of Hanukkah as a miracle of getting rid of the devil. So that's pretty much what it is.
He uses whatever he sees. Like the parking spot's not there, he'll go to this one. He sees the Hanukkah, he'll go there.
Pretty much. The improv, right?
The improv, that's right.
I mean, how can you not be like totally wanting to see this now?
I mean, I'm so interested.
And folks, the investment is only 7 minutes. It's not like the end of the world, you know?
The interesting thing, we actually film it in BDSM dungeon. The actual dungeon here.
A dungeon. Here?
In LA, where, yeah, we rented it as if you rented it for, you know,
a party or something.
Yeah, a sex party. But we just filmed it. So there was lots of, you know, lots of equipment there. I didn't have to worry about equipment and all this.
The
everything
chains
was
were there.
Chains and whips and and cages and crosses and everything.
We got to get a Jewish star up there somehow.
That's true.
It was super hot. It was super hot.
Nice.
Yeah, wow.
Nice.
But let me ask you this. I mean, you go into a place like this, people have already worn the chains.
I know. I was just thinking, do you wash the whole thing?
I don't think
so. I know you. You would probably Lysol the shit out of it.
Yeah, you do. Actually, they told me, you know, after you use, you can use whatever you want, but you have to clean it and there is a disinfecting thing
going
on.
Oh, my word.
I hope there is, but good.
Yeah, you know.
It's like a hotel room in there.
Right. We use only, you know, handcuffs and
face
gag,
mask.
The gag.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what you use from there. You know, my stuff, I bought my wardrobe, I bought myself, so it was mine, because, you know, I'm very sensitive to other people's sweat, so I didn't want to wear something.
God.
Yeah,
this is why I don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch your sweat. I don't want to smell your sweat. I don't want to be around it. So I don't exercise.
No, it's disgusting. Anyway, Adi Spector, tell people, first of all, how they can see the movie A Miracle of Hanukkah.
They cannot see it yet unless it's in the festival. It's still running in the festivals. The trailer is on YouTube. I cannot put it on YouTube yet because lots of festivals require premiere. So
I see. So just the trailer's on YouTube.
The trailer is on YouTube.
Okay.
So they can just look it up. A Miracle of Hanukkah?
A Miracle of Hanukkah. Or just Google my name and my YouTube channel comes up and all my films and trailers are there.
It's Adi, A-D-I.
S-P-E-K-T-O-R. Lots of people spell it with a C. It's right. K-T-O-R.
I'm right. A showman. People always stick a C in there. There's no C. It's S-H. I always get that.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. And it's not Spectre from James Bond either. The S-P-E-C-T-R-E.
Which wasn't a good movie.
No, this one was not good.
No, it was a big flop.
But Spectre, the organization, has existed in James Bond
for a long time. Oh, yeah.
There's actually a comic book.
Spectre too?
Dr. Spectre.
Oh, wow.
Spelled with your spelling?
With my name. Oh, wow. Yeah, because I'm Eastern European, so we spell with a K.
With a K, right.
Because otherwise we would pronounce it Spetstor.
Oh, that's what the C is. In Eastern, you go...
Because the C is T.
T sound.
K is K, so that's why it's spelled with a K.
Now I know.
So when I came here, you know, I mean, I didn't change my last name.
No, of course not.
So
the K is very hardcore cool.
You know, and it's memorable. Yeah. You know, so there you go. You know, keep it the way you are. How can people find you, get a hold of you if they want to, your website?
AdiSpector.com, very easy. I'm on Facebook as well. AdiSpector Official is my page. AdiSpector on Twitter, AdiSpector Official on Instagram, or just Google me, AdiSpector, and I'm going to come. I'll show up. Yeah, I'll show up.
I'll show up somewhere. Yeah, there
and there's,
you go.
You know, when you go on my page, there is a place to actually contact me, you know. So that's
there you go.
Very
and
interesting.
And there's probably links there from everywhere.
The links everywhere. Actually, I think on any IMDb, I have my personal, one of my emails there too. So if somebody wants to go
awesome,
there too.
Awesome, folks. So you can find them anywhere. You can't get away from them.
No,
see?
No, I don't want to get away from them.
Adi, thank you and thank all you. The best to you. Continued success
thank
to you.
Thank you so much.
Such a perseverance on this one.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Really.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the movie, folks. It's funny. I watched the first two
it's
minutes
sexy.
Already.
We get to see his butt.
Funny, yeah, exactly.
On the
you
whole
get
screen.
To see the butt too, so.
Freeze frame.
Yeah. All right, Adi. Thank you.
Thank you very
Tori,
much.
Thank you.
Have a good
always.
Weekend, guys.
Yes,
be safe.
Great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.